More About Co-Housing with Lynn Morstead and Kelly Soika. Co-Housing Houston is a multi-generational, community-minded group of people who share the values of connection and sustainability. We're developing the first co-housing project in Texas, and we're really glad you found us today.
Computer.
Lynn, hi.
Hey, Kelly. How are you?
I'm great. It's a Monday. The sun is shining and it is not 1,000 degrees out. So life is. Yes. Yeah. And I'm excited today. We have a very interesting guest with us today. We're taking a detour from our road trip. You know, Lynn and I have been on this road trip around America via Zoom, talking to different co-housing communities. But this time we are, well, actually, maybe we're still,
we're still on our road trip. Okay. We're just changing the conversation. Yeah.
So instead of visiting co-housing community today, we have stopped in to the professor's office hours to to visit with Jackie Augustine. And I found Jackie, she is the executive director of Blueprint Geneva. That's Geneva, New York. And she's also an ethics professor. So that's a tantalizing mixture right there. And she is listed on cohousing.org because she has worked on some projects that are kind of cohousing adjacent. So Jackie, we're so glad that you accepted our invitation to invite ourselves into your office hours here today.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for asking. I love to talk about this stuff.
I'm kind of disappointed you're not living in Geneva, Switzerland, honestly. I didn't even know there was a Geneva.
That's our sister city.
Oh, is that right? Okay, that's very cool.
Okay. Well, Jackie, do you want to tell us a little bit about Blueprint Geneva and a little bit about yourself, the things that I left out of that very brief introduction?
Sure. So I have grown up in Geneva. I've lived here my whole life, and I was on the Geneva City Council for 16 years. And once my time with that was up, I started this nonprofit, Blueprint Geneva, to try to do some of the community projects that I really had hoped that could have been accomplished during my time with city government, but I felt like maybe, you know, a nonprofit was better suited to move the needle on. And a lot of those focus on areas of economic and environmental justice, and specifically now when we're talking about co-housing, how housing justice kind of fits in the mix with that. Okay. So yeah, that's how I came to be interested in this.
Can you tell us a little bit about Geneva? Like, how large is Geneva? And, you know, what does the housing mix look like in Geneva?
Yeah, so I like to always say that we're kind of a little microcosm of America, because if you took our demographics, we're only a community of about 13,500 people. But if you actually look at the demographics, we mirror kind of the national averages, both in terms of race, gender, age, economics. I would say, you know, Geneva has a slightly higher poverty level than our adjacent Finger Lakes communities, but we call ourselves uniquely urban because the Finger Lakes is considered, you know, a rural area, but our little city is pretty great.
Excellent. Okay, good. Well, good. This is helpful because I don't know Geneva very well, but it was interesting to me that you have such a strong interest in affordable housing, but all, you know, most rural areas have more land and, you know, fewer people. So it's a different matrix than it sounds to me like Geneva has a greater concentration of people than its surrounding areas and also a smaller footprint.
Yeah. You know, one thing I was hoping you'd say a little bit more about that you mentioned to us when we had our preamble, and that is kind of like within that mix of kind of this American representation, you talked a little bit about community of families with deep roots, which to me seems to have a linkage with your interest in the co-housing community world.
Yeah, definitely. I think that a lot of sometimes, you know, people will joke that you can't go too far before you run into somebody that you're related to. There are, you know, deep rooted families in Geneva who have stayed here for multiple generations. And I think there is that strong feeling that people are looking out for one another and kind of helping each other out. So it seems like the co-housing concept is like a perfect fit for the types of values that we have in Geneva, where people have different talents and interests and things to contribute, but as they work together, it just makes kind of a better situation for everybody. Mm. And we have, you know, a fairly robust aging population. So we have a lot of seniors looking to downsize their existing homes. We have primarily single family homes, and the community Geneva was founded in the early 1800s. So we have a lot of older housing stock, larger houses. So as people look to downsize, they don't want to leave the city. They'd like to stay here. But our housing stock hasn't really kept up with that kind of demand because we are kind of landlocked. We're at the top of Seneca Lake. We have Hobart and William Smith Colleges, Cornell University's Agricultural Experiment Station, and a community college here. But then we're surrounded by the town of Geneva, which is an entirely different jurisdiction. So we are a little landlocked, and, you know, we're looking to get creative with the space that we have left.
Yeah. Well, so how did you first hear about co-housing just in general? And then was this what resonated with you? Like, in your personal life, was there something that you heard about co-housing and you were like, oh yeah, this makes sense?
Yeah. So I have always lived only a few minutes from my parents. So in raising my kids, I was over there a lot, and we have Sunday dinner together every evening. And I know that there are a lot of families in Geneva who have similar experience. So I thought the idea of co-housing, where you have people of, well, I mean, I guess the way I kind of came to it, a way of bringing people with different backgrounds and kind of different needs living in the same space and able to help one another out and to kind of learn from one another and just be a support system in a really tangible way and to cooperate on things like gardening or childcare even, but just to be able to have a space where you don't have to do all of the homeownership tasks all by yourself. There's a built-in network where many hands make light work. And I just feel like that could be something really beneficial to keeping our community cohesive in a way where, you know, people are able to age in place and young families find a place that really works for them instead of having to buy into a large, maybe unmaintainable home that, you know, with a limited amount of time and resources is really going to take every available minute and dollar to keep up with.
Right. Yeah. So Jackie, you founded the nonprofit and you talked about Geneva, and it seemed like one of the first things that you started to think about and work on was something that we would call a co-housing project. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about that first foray into this world of developing a co-housing project in your community.
Yeah. So when I was in grad school, I worked part-time as a grant writer for a local community development organization called Community Unified Today. And they did a lot of affordable housing work, first-time home buyer, rental assistance. So it helped me really understand what the affordable housing landscape was like in Geneva. Mm-hmm. So when we started Blueprint, our first project out of the gate was to take those principles of affordable housing, which is to provide people affordable, quality living space, but to kind of move away from just the rental concept, because, you know, then people are always worried that maybe when that lease is up, they have to move, but also not to go to that single family model for the same reasons that, you know, then people have taxes, you know, roofing, painting, yard work that again might seem like too much. And we found a piece of land that was near a public gardening space. And the idea was to do these small individual units that would have some common space. So a kitchen space where people could host larger dinners, some accessory units where people could rent out if they have family visiting. So you don't need a 3-bedroom house if really your guest room's only being used once a year, right? And we put in an application with the Division of Housing and Community Renewal and got our initial acceptance that they were interested in the concept and would fund it. And then when it went through the environmental review process, it was revealed to us at the same time it was revealed to the community that that piece of property was actually a Superfund site because of it was the location of a former foundry. So there was lead and arsenic contamination that's still being remediated even 6 years later now.
Oh my gosh, what a blow.
Yeah. So the funding, you know, they won't hold your grant forever. So we shifted our focus to environmental justice and economic justice issues in other projects.
Interesting. Well, you know, it's interesting to hear you describe that project because you just did describe a co-housing project.
Very well.
The other side, you know, like that is very much the, those are the elements, those are the design elements that make co-housing work. Those are the things that bring neighbors together. And I thought it was interesting too, that, you know, as you're looking at this from an affordable housing standpoint, they're the kind of the two elements, one, the just physically space, you know, space to live, but then also overlay that with this sense of community and a sense of interdependence that I think is, I would guess, would make you more successful over the long haul, because for those of us not living in affordable housing, it makes us more successful over the long haul to have that interdependence with our neighbors and those relationships. So, and were you envisioning then like a multi-generational community also, that would have been a multi-gen?
Yeah. So the idea was that we wanted to do mixed income and mixed age, right? We liked the idea that we would have residents who are at different stages of life, who are still, a lot of surveys of the seniors in our community show that while they do want a smaller unit, they don't want to be isolated. They don't want to be disconnected. And then again, we have a lot of families with small children for whom that kind of additional support and network would be really helpful. But also the idea of really staying true to a mixed income housing principle. We like the idea that affordable housing is not just a commodity to be driven by, you know, a profit motive, because oftentimes that results in housing being located far away from the amenities people want and not necessarily designed with people's needs in the forefront. The idea is more what's going to yield the most money, not necessarily what's going to yield the highest experience for the residents. So I think that's one of the principles of co-housing, right? That the people who are going to live there are the co-designers of the space and are present and driving the idea of what that housing is actually going to look like and how it's going to function. So that was important to us.
Definitely. And you know, one of the principles is over time, like we all of us like have this list of what's going to happen in the common house. Like everybody's common house is going to have yoga classes. Everybody's but it's super unlikely that every single co-housing community across the U.S. has yoga classes. So it's really shaped by who shows up. You know, if you wind up in a community of cloggers, you're going to have clogging practice or something happening in your common house. So I was wondering too, was there kind of that forward thinking of your project? Because in my mind, affordable housing too, you need to have, it can't be like, okay, you move in and now you're under somebody else's, you know, rules or somebody else's thumb. you need to have a way for the community to function as and have agency within that community. Was that envisioned in your project, or did you guys come get stopped in your tracks before you got there?
Well, we had preliminary discussions about it, but I will say COVID definitely kind of derailed the planning and changed our organization's orientation in terms of project priorities.
Yeah,
more to the environmental justice and economic justice immediate kind of projects that we've been involved in. But we did, I think it's sometimes unusual, at least from the kind of brief survey that we did of other co-housing, for there to be this kind of intermediary, which is kind of the way we were looking at approaching this, where the nonprofit intermediary would be the developer and kind of the governing body in a way, to help mediate any potential resident disputes that might arise, but that there would need to be resident representation in that, because we did some initial surveys, and one of the concerns was people wanted to know how much time was going to be dedicated to managing the co-housing operation. And that was seen as something that was something that would dissuade people from buying into the idea, right?
Interesting.
Because it was another commitment that, again, especially when we're looking at young families, we want to make sure that the needs of the families are represented, but we also don't want to be asking people to add another commitment to their already busy schedules in order to make the concept work. So we were spending some time trying to figure out how we would configure that in a way that does stay true to the needs of the residents, but doesn't add this other layer of things people need to figure out in their lives in order to just live.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very interesting thought there. So with that in mind, and where you're at now, what is your next move? It sounds like it's kind of like on the back burner, but you're still continuing to think about how you might move it forward.
I think that our initial project obviously got derailed by this cleanup effort. But we have another location that we think would be a really good fit. We're kind of waiting to see the cities in the middle of, I'm sorry.
That's fine. Life happens while we're on podcasts. We all understand that.
The city's in the middle of a rezoning, and we're kind of interested to see in what ways the zoning will try to address some of the housing inequity and what kind of space that might make for a project like this, whether it's developed by us or by somebody else. You know, we want to see the concept go forward.
Well, can I just ask another question to all this? We haven't touched on it all is, you know, you talk about your nonprofit efforts and the work that you're doing, but I'm just curious, have you reached out into the community to try and gen up some community pull on this concept?
So during COVID, we did form a housing justice task force to look at, I mean, as you know, during the pandemic, there were all kinds of issues related to housing, both in terms of, you know, the eviction moratorium and just people who who were housing insecure, trying to figure out what would they do if they had to quarantine. You know, there were a lot of issues related to housing. And one of the things we talked about was how we might pursue this concept or some other housing concepts like cooperatives, or turning some of the older, larger buildings in the community into perhaps like a condo type concept, things which aren't allowed in New York State except by special legislation.
Gotcha.
But we started having this broader discussion with people, not part of our organization, but just across the community, architecture professors at the colleges, Habitat for Humanity representatives, just other people working in kind of the housing and housing justice space. So I do think that, that this idea is kind of gaining some traction.
So
and
I'm just gonna jump in there again, because what I hear you saying, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is you're really working all this really kind of hard background infrastructure. But what I'm curious about, because that's what Kelly and I really focus on in Houston now, is who's your customer? Have you ginned up a group of people who want to live there, and who would then be pulling on this and demanding of your, you know, city council and your government structures that they make exceptions to these rules?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And no, I don't think that we have identified by name the potential residents.
Okay,
for the,
I was just I think curious. We are,
yeah, but I think the concept is such that the Ontario County, that's the county we're in, they just did a housing study. And the kinds of things that co-housing represents to people were largely representative in the responses that people
okay.
want. People
okay.
want a community. They want to live together
mm-hmm.
with other people in close proximity so that they can continue to have, you know, meaningful interpersonal connections, regardless of the stage of life or the income level that they're at.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So
Very
this is
nice.
A hot topic in co-housing. I mean, it's the affordability of co-housing itself. So there are groups out there across the country where groups have come together and are demanding to find ways to make it less
Mm-hmm.
expensive to be able to buy into co-housing. And then there are also, you know, groups like yours where somebody's heard about it and is trying to shift the paradigm so that it better fits this model. But do you have any, now that you guys have, you came close, you know, to making it happen. Do you have any advice to some of these groups out there about how they should, it sounds to me like reaching out to other groups, that's been something that's been successful for you. I mean, do you have other tips or advice to them if they're listening about how to get their affordable housing projects and the co-housing model to come together more seamlessly?
Yeah, I think that there are creative solutions out there. And I think we're at a great time in terms of federal state funding that will look at initiatives that are trying to be equity focused.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, one of the driving forces behind the initial project that we pitched to the state was that the cost of rental housing in our community is actually quite high. We have we have affordable housing, but if it's affordable, the quality might not be there. And as you get a larger unit or you want a better maintained unit, the price point is really being pushed. So we're at a threshold where housing is not as affordable as it should be. And one of the things we were talking about is that people's actual outlay for their housing cost, you know, the standard is that it should be 30% or less. It should be
mm-hmm.
less 30% of your income. People are already there and they're paying that month after month in rent, and there is no return on that investment in terms
Mm-hmm.
of, you know, once your lease is up. So the idea that you could have a vehicle where the monthly cost is almost the same, but you're actually gaining equity in a unit and you're participating in something that is more meaningful, is higher quality. It just seems like a win-win to me. So, you know, programs like Section 8 and housing choice vouchers, I think in other communities, we have seen that there are pilot programs where those can be used towards purchasing something. So I don't see why that would not be completely consistent with a co-housing arrangement. And I think the more that we can structure that and think about that in terms of housing justice, the better.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad that we got to dip into
Yeah,
this
this is really interesting.
Today. If this is a specific interest of anyone's, also, I would recommend keeping an eye on the cohousing.org website. I know that at the next nationwide get together in Denver, they are going to have some panels on affordability. And I know that every once in a while they run these. So it's definitely out there. It's a topic of conversation. And Jackie, thank you so much for allowing
Yes.
us to come and visit with you today. This was
Yeah.
really interesting. I appreciate
Yeah,
it.
really.
Oh,
Thank you
I
so much.
appreciate it. And thanks for all the work you're doing to raise these issues.
Thank you.
You're all welcome. Right. Okay. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for stopping by today. We're so glad you clicked on our episode. For more information about our project, Cohousing Houston, go to www.cohousinghouston.com and subscribe to our newsletter. For general information about cohousing, we like cohousing.org. We're active on social media, so check out what's happening on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under Cohousing Houston.